I'm Tony Cox, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm sitting in for Michelle Martin today. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. Every week, we check in with a diverse group of parents for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. And today, a somewhat secretive practice that has become a mainstay for most teenagers, it's texting. And parents want in on the action. If you think kids and teens text a lot, well, you're right. The average teenager now sends more than 3,000 text messages every month. That's an average of about 100 per day, according to research. All this texting can make teens seem to disappear into a world of their own, which makes parents curious enough to try it in a bid to better communicate with their children. We want to talk more about parents who text with their kids, as well as what their kids think of it. So we are joined today by Lauren Kalin, who has chronicled the hilarious texts parents have sent to their kids in the forthcoming book, When Parents Text, So Much Said, So Little Understood. We're also joined today by two of our regular moms, Danny Tucker and Jolene Ivy. Danny is a mother of two teenagers, and Jolene is a mom of five. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
I can't text while I'm talking to you, so we'll just have to figure out a way to get this going. Lauren, I'm going to start with you, because you're in your 20s, and I'm assuming you're the only one of us who is not a parent. Is that right?
I am not a parent.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay, good. Well, good for you. So the moms understood what I meant by that. So I want to start with a text that started it all for you, Lauren, a conversation between you and your mom about tacos. It's in the book. I'm going to read this little part. Your mom texts you, "How many tacos?" You text her back, "Might be more like 7. "Mom, tacos?" You, "No, my train gets in then." Then you say, "Tacos, 2. Your mom says, "How many tacos?" And you finally say, "Mom, chill with the tacos." What made you think that these text conversations were a broader phenomenon that other teens and young adults could relate to?
It actually took me by surprise. When we started the website, me and Sophia, my best friend, now turned business partner, we just reached out to our friends and our siblings. And within a month of starting this website and opening it up, we received hundreds of submissions, anonymous submissions daily. And then we realized that we had tapped into something broader, something that was more universal and surprisingly consistently hilarious.
They absolutely were funny all throughout the book. Let me come to ask you, Jolene, because it says here, you once sent a text to your son while the both of you were in the same car?
Yeah, we have a big van. It's a 15-passenger van, and I was in the back row. And so I had a great view of everybody else in the van, and I could see, you know, this one particular son. He was busily texting, just as you were mentioning, and he was in his own little world. So I just sent him one saying, you know, "I love you." And he looked up all of a sudden. He was like, "Oh, my God, she's watching me." And then he looked around the van to see if I'd sent the same thing to his other brothers. I saw him look around. Did she only send it to me? And I'd only sent it to him. So he really got a kick out of that.
That's a funny story. That's a great one. Danny, now you have an 18-year-old son who estimates that he sends around 300 texts every day to friends. But you guys text each other all the time.
Yeah, I text both of them. I have my parent text words, too. You know, sometimes I have to remind them to watch their text tone, you know, when they say certain things. So I swear I chastise them on the texting.
So will you do capital letters?
Yeah, capital letters. Or I'll say, like, "My daughter sent LLS." And I, you know, instead of saying "watch your mouth," I say "watch your fingers." You know, so they just get a big kick out of it, you know.
Now, do you do it, both of you, Danny and Jolene, do you do it because it's fun? Do you do it because your kids do it and that's the best way to stay in touch with them, or maybe both?
I think it's both. I mean, I do it to stay in touch with them. I do it because it's fun. I text my friends. I text Danny. I mean, you know, texting, I would rather text than actually talk on the phone.
Really?
I wish my mother texts. It would really, really help.
Really? Why would you not want to talk anymore?
Well, I think that you can continue to do other things. You don't have to be engaged on the phone. You can send a text, and when you have a moment, you can come back and check it. The whole conversation could take hours. You know, it doesn't have to all happen within a few moments. Therefore, you can kind of fit it in whenever it's convenient. And people also say things on text that they might not say to your face. At least I know that's true with kids.
So, Lauren, can you explain the phenomenon? And the research is just, it's amazing. For example, girls, teenage girls between the ages of 13 and 17 text more than anybody, you might imagine. It says here, according to Nielsen research, 4,050 texts per month compared to boys, 2,539 per month. What is the attraction for young people in texting, Lauren?
The attraction? I think it's about the convenience. I think you're right. You can go about your daily life and just insert it. It's really easy to stay in touch with a lot of different people at the same time. With a phone call, you have to, you know, only talk to one person, and then you have to call all of your friends individually. But we explore in the book the phenomenon of the mass text and parents trying to get a handle on that.
You know, Danny, you talked about chastising your son and his language, texting language. So it sounds like you use texting as a parenting tool.
I have no choice. They won't answer the phone. I got to get it in any way I can get it in. And they don't answer the phone when I call. And I'm like, why don't y'all answer the phone? Ma, text us. I don't know how. So when they finally taught me, you know, after a while, and I do, I would text them prayers. All right, it's time for prayer. Oh, Lord. You know, I get that. And it's like, well, I don't, you all won't answer the phone. You know, and then, you know, you're teenagers now. You disappear. I got to find a way to get it in. And so they taught me how to text. And it's a big kick out of them. Like Jolene said, we do it because not just to communicate, but you have to just stay with your kids. You know, if that's where they are and you want some sort of relationship with them, you got
to
go
there,
too.
That's what you have to do.
That's what you got to do.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Tony Cox. And in this week's Mom's Conversation, we are talking about parents who text their kids. I'm joined by Jolene Ivey and Danny Tucker, two of our regular moms, and Lauren Kalin, co-author of the forthcoming book, When Parents Text. Lauren, here's another excerpt from the book. Mom, I just stalked your Facebook. Could you post just one picture of you at your desk studying? Me, ha ha, very funny, Mom. Mom, no, really. And both you and your sister should cover up and leave some room for the imagination. Jolene, how do you set boundaries with texting?
I don't know that you really need to set boundaries. I mean, as long as they're communicating with you, you don't want them to do sexting, which is a whole nother thing. But as far as texting, especially with you, I think it's great. You know, one mom recently shared with me a text her teenage son had sent her, which said something along the lines of, "Hey, Mom, thanks for the condoms. I didn't need them. They weren't necessary, but I really appreciate you giving them to me. So thanks so much." And she's like, "Well, as long as you're happy, I'm happy." So would that have happened face to face?
I don't know. Probably not.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
There's an example in the book of a condom cat. It's actually a picture message.
Oh, yeah, I have that one right here. That's one of my favorites. I have that cat right here. I love it.
Its expression is pretty great. But the mom sends a picture of a close-up of their cat's face, and the text that accompanies it is something along the lines of, "The cat wants to know why she found condoms in your laundry."
You know, I text also, and I use it to communicate with my children more often than not because, like you said, they don't answer the telephone when you call them. So I've given up on that. And I just, if I really need to get your attention, I will send a text. But my question is this. I find myself gradually, and Laura, maybe you can speak to this also, beginning to text my friends, you know, which I never thought that I would do. Danny, you do that?
All the time. I mean, it started with the kids, and now I text everybody. Like mm-hmm. I said, Jolene, because you're right. I mean, it saves you time to have the phone not on your ear, you know, but you can still carry on a conversation. But the kids open the door for me, you know, and I'm like, whoa, you know. So I'm a texter.
Now. You text your husband with your husband, too?
I wish my husband would text more. He knows it's a real issue between us that I beg him to. And every now and then he'll send me one. I'll send him one back. And 3 weeks later, he'll answer it. So that's kind of annoying. But one thing that's great about texting is that you don't have to have the preliminary. Hi, how are you? How are the kids? How's the family? You don't do all of that. It's just, can you meet tomorrow at 6 o'clock? Or, hey, this funny thing happened, or whatever it is. So it definitely condenses what you want to say.
Are you finding, Lauren, that the phenomenon of texting is actually growing among older people as well?
I think so. I mean, our website certainly has gained popularity, and we're getting more and more submissions. It's actually funny we sometimes receive current events through our submissions, that it's that real time, that we'll find out, you know, what CeeLo wore on the Grammys because I'm reading submissions.
Well, you know, one of the things that texting does not allow you to do, and as mothers, I'm sure you can appreciate this, you can't see them. You can't read the expressions on their face because, you know, what people say and what really is going on don't always match up. Do you worry, Danny, that you're missing out because the texting is not the real story, maybe?
I do, but, I mean, what can I do about it? I mean, that's the sign of the times for them. Where I do draw the line with them is when they want to text me in the house. And I'm like, no, put the phone down, come upstairs. Because that's where I try to get that, you know, where I can see you, where I can know what you're feeling, what you're talking about, and same here. But when they're out, I just don't have a choice. Because you got to communicate with your kids, and this is the way they're going to do it. But in the house, you know, and they'll try it. They will text me in the house like I'm not there. I'm like, I'm upstairs. Stop texting me. Come upstairs and talk to me.
Do either of you worry about the fact that texting and the shorthand that it has created has affected their ability to write?
Totally. Well, this is actually why I don't use a lot of abbreviations. I actually put in apostrophes, periods, and commas. I try to spell correctly because if nowhere else, when they get texts from me, they're generally going to be correct. I think that they need to see that.
Yes, true story. In high school, I had that problem with Davon because when it was time for him to write his papers, he would write his papers like he was texting it. And we'd get into it. I'm like, boy, if you don't speak English, this is not English. You cannot turn an English paper in like this. It may be suitable for a text to your friend, but no. Go. And, I mean, we would have, well, I don't understand why we got to do it this way, you know, because you got to do it this way.
How much of an issue, Lauren, is that in terms of your experience with texting?
Well, I see it more of from the children's perspective, trying to understand the new acronyms and the new abbreviations that the parents come up with. So there's an entire section in our book, a glossary of terms and emoticons that parents have actually created. So there's one, good golly, Miss Molly has now been shortened. Or there's a emoticon called Bowtie Man, which is a reminder from a mom to never do anything stupid. Things like that. So,
we're getting a new language.
Yeah, I want her to add one to that. Add solid, because I say that to the kids all. You know, they say something to me. You know, mom be home at 12, whatever. I say solid, because that's something we said in the 70s. I can't help it. And they go, "What solid? Who is solid?" So, I taught my kids solid through texting.
I want your kids to submit to the site. That'd be perfect.
Is there a cost associated with this, Lauren? I don't know that there would be necessarily, other than having to buy a cell phone or a computer or something that would allow you to text.
An unlimited texting plan. Unlimited.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I have that.
How
yes.
expensive is that?
Boost, $50 a month.
But
I
that
live
includes
by it.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah. I could not do this if they had one of those by the word or whatever. Oh, I don't know. Contracts? No.
Don't you remember when it was like $5 a month for 500 texts or something like that?
Don't remember that. Never did it.
Where do you see this going, Lauren? You know, the phenomenon is here. The numbers are the astronomical in terms of usage. And it's grown far and fast. So my question is, in the next 5 years, where are we going to be, do you think?
Well, Sophia and I have already bought the domain name for When Parents Post, which is we're hoping will be the Facebook spinoff, because there is uncharted territory there and new rules that have yet to be learned by parents about appropriate etiquette on Facebook. And now that I think of it, ways that they can parent via Facebook.
You know, we should have another conversation just about Facebook.
Yes.
and whether you should be friends or not friends with your kids, or whether you should even go to their site. I will not go to my son's website. I just don't want to see what I think is there.
No, you need to go, and you need to tell him.
Well, he's grown.
Why?
So
oh, okay.
He's not a kid. He's not a kid. No,
okay,
so
then don't.
Yeah, no.
My parents go to my website.
They do?
Yes, and daily. They tell me when they don't like one.
And do your parents text you regularly, Lauren?
Yeah, I actually just checked when you were reading that statistic about 4,000 text messages a month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now in my phone from the past week or so, I have 211 text messages from my mom that we've exchanged.
Wow.
The most recent one is also from her. I said I was on the radio now.
That's amazing. Really quickly, because our time is short, do you text with your dad?
Yes, but he is not as frequent. So he texted me just now that he was going to be listening, and I said, a text? How apropos.
For some reason, dads don't seem to be into it the same way.
Well, my dad is about to turn 93, so he just looks at my phone and he says, what is that and what are you doing on it? Because I keep telling him it's a phone. How can it be a phone? You're reading things on it, other things come on it. What is that thing I'm texting? What is that? What do you have? It's a phone.
That is an amazing phenomenon. And the book is really quite interesting. There are many more examples of text in here that I wish we had time to read, but I'm going to squeeze one really fast. This is from a mom. It's titled Mad. Mom, in all caps, come home right now. Mom, come home right now. Mom, come home right now. She does it like 6 times. Then the kid says, okay, why did you send me this 6 times? Mom, I'm mad. We definitely got the message there. This is a fascinating circumstance, and I enjoyed having you here to talk about it. Danny Tucker, Jolene Ivy, two of our regular moms, they were both with us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Lauren Kalin, co-author of the book When Parents Text So Much Said, So Little Understood, which will be released September 1st. It features the often hilarious texts parents send to their kids. She joined us from NPR in New York. Thank you all.
Thanks,
good conversation.
Tony.
Thanks,
Thank
Tony.
You.
I'll get it. Look for a text from me after we get off the air. To read more from Lauren's forthcoming book, visit the Tell Me More website. Go to npr.org, click on Programs, and then Tell Me More. And that's our program for today. I'm Tony Cox. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.